This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
With licensed psychologist and guest John Delatorre.
The parents of Ellen Greenberg appealing to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court after the lower court's ruling that they didn't have standing to change the cause of death from suicide to homicide. Joining me to discuss this case, which is always just bang your head against a wall frustrating, is Dr. John Delatorre. John, this is one, we were talking about Natalie Holloway not that long ago, where was justice served there? This is one where all of the building blocks to get justice seem to be there, yet there's somebody standing in the way at every which stop to find it. We have a knife. We still have the knife. It's in a police locker in Philadelphia that's never been printed. There are so many other elements to this. Her phone, her diary, there are so many things that could be looked at in a homicide investigation, yet a homicide investigation has never been done in this. And obviously, a lot of this goes to the world of legalese and such. But for the family, what must they be going through as it's right in front of you? You know there's something, this was a murder of some sort, yet everything around the whole system, it's almost like upside down, and nobody is answering any questions, and nobody's creating a clear path to answer obvious questions. What are they going through all of this?
Sometimes things happen that are so shocking that you can't believe it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what the family is going through. I mean, I'm going to be a little hyperbolic when I'm discussing this case, but there have been reports that have come out about how she was found, where they literally say that she was like threw herself on top of the knife, or that she literally banged her head against the knife. I mean, the positions of some of these wounds that were done by this weapon mm-hmm. are physically impossible for someone to do after they're already dead.
Yeah.
And so I think if I was around the family, I think this is probably one of those times where you look at something and something happens and you're just like, is that really happening right now? So you don't really have negative emotions, obviously, and you want to be aggressive and you want to advocate, but sometimes the emotions are just kind of numb. They're not as intense because you just cannot believe that this is reality. Like, you cannot believe that this is really what is happening right now. And so I think I wouldn't be surprised that if they said something like they feel blunted or they feel numb, like they want to do what's best for their family member, but it's almost just disbelief that this is literally what's happening.
Is it, and obviously I can't speak to this, I can't imagine being in their position. I think if my daughter suffered the same fate, I would be going nuts, probably even to a more extreme than this, where I'd land myself in jail. But mental health-wise, is it wise for them to continue going down this road where it feels like there's just so many roadblocks, there's so many people in high places that don't want this to happen, this investigation to happen? Is it worth it for them at the end of the day to keep going? I'm sure it's only a question they can answer, but the torment they must be going through and being stopped for really no reason other than what? Is someone covering something up? Is someone trying to hide the guilt of someone else? Or is someone just trying to hide some sort of sloppy police work? I don't know the answer to that. But at some point, do you say, I want to live with the loving, happy memory of my daughter and quit putting myself through this over and over? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you can choose to do either. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that, as you just described, Tony, this is the gig. Yeah. Right? Once you had a child, it doesn't matter how old that child becomes.
Yeah.
If something bad happens to that child, you feel it too.
Yeah.
You feel it sometimes even worse than your child felt. And it doesn't matter if they're 40 years old, 50 years old, doesn't matter if you're, 80, 90 years old. This is the gig.
Yeah.
And so something happened to their daughter and they can still remember her and all the happy times, but something happened to her and no one's doing anything about it. And so this is what you do as the parent, and you raise hell. Mm-hmm. Now, hopefully it doesn't land them in jail, but you raise hell and you make sure that the people who need to do something about it are held accountable for doing what they're supposed to be doing to once again bring justice to the harm that has undergone this family.
And it's been 17 years now of them raising hell after her death. A civil suit is now in the works. They're in the phase of discovery right now, since all criminal aspects as of right now have been exhausted. Do you think that through the discovery in the civil suit, maybe enough will be examined once they get some of these things out of the police lockers in Philadelphia, actually look at this thing for prints? Is there someone out there right now that should be very much being a little bit paranoid and watching their back for possibly an arrest at some point if they start diving into the details of this and doing some proper investigation work with the material that they're left with?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, just when we think about a civil trial, this is probably the only justice that they're actually going to be getting, which is hopefully the people that they're suing are found liable and then they get, you know, whatever compensatory damages that are associated with that liability. But yes, I mean, is there an opportunity for a criminal trial to happen as a result of this civil trial? Yeah, absolutely. But we'll see what the evidence says and we'll go from there.
With something like this, it's very easy to jump down the road of, oh, this is a cover-up that involves the actual murderer themselves. That could be a possibility because we don't have many options to look at. The other would be really sloppy police work, which is without a doubt something that happened here. I mean, absolutely deplorable the way that this situation was handled from the very beginning. Is that something that we need to really take into account when we're evaluating this in terms of it's easy to go off this direction or that direction based on what we have? Maybe there's other directions we're not even conceiving of right now of what could have possibly happened here.
Yeah, there's always multiple directions that an investigation can go down, whether it's done by police or done by a family member or a journalist or something like that. There's always multiple roads that it can go down. But you have to really sort of bracket off a lot of those things into what can be proven. And I think from there, we'll get a better understanding of why. Because sloppy police work is one thing, but this is atrocious. Like, yeah. This is almost as if kindergartners were asked to investigate, you know, a serious crime. And it's like, of course, they're not going to get it right because they don't have the necessary intelligence to understand the complexities of it. But that's not true. They're not kindergartners.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're left wondering, why does someone make these kinds of mistakes on a case like this? And I think through the civil trial, we'll really get a better understanding of why these kinds of mistakes were made. And from there, a suspect will probably be generated.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now